Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you. So much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in. So here's my question for you today, and it requires absolute honesty. Are you ready? If a stranger approached you and asked, "Who are you? I mean, who are you really?" What would you say? What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you pause to consider who you are? How would you answer? Would your thought automatically go to my job, your income, your looks, your status at church, your neighborhood? Or have you spent so much time pondering the love of God and that amazing grace he's lavished on you that without thinking too much about it, your first thoughts are these? Well, I'm someone God loves. In fact, I marvel every single day at his grace, but it's mine and it's amazing. Well, I got to tell you, I'm so thrilled to welcome my friend Holly Girth back to the program. She is a brilliant writer. She's a deep well of wisdom, and we're celebrating two of her books today. You're already amazing, and you're already loved. You will be so encouraged today. And as I mentioned first hour, both today's guests write specifically to women. But men, I know you're listening, and I want you to stay tuned because this message is absolutely for you. It may go in through a different filter, but we're talking to you too, all right? A couple quick announcements before I get Holly on. Our fourth annual Faith Radio Writers Contest is in full swing. We've got a few more days that we'll be taking submissions. Deadline is May 22nd. Our theme this year is redemption. Hey, a handful of you winners will come in to the station for a luncheon in our green room, and then you'll get to have a face-to-face meeting with an editor from Bethany House Publishers. It's a fantastic opportunity. You'll find all the information and the submission guidelines on our website at myfaithradio.com. And we are partnering this year with National Association of Evangelicals to see and hopefully have 1 million Christians praying in America on Sunday, July 10th for this nation, appealing to God in heaven that he would intervene and bring a revival back to this country we so desperately need it. If you'd like to sign up your life group or your church, you can visit their website at nae.net. And finally, a shout out to our new listening audience in Faith 1290 in Hartford. So honored to be part of your family and honored to have you part of our family. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Holly Girth is a best-selling writer, certified life coach, and speaker. She loves connecting with the hearts of women through her popular blog and book. She's also the co-founder of the very famous blog InCourage, that's I-N, InCourage, and a partner with Dayspring. You can find her resources on our website at myfaithradio.com. Dear sweet Holly, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Susie. I'm so glad to be with you again.
It has been way too long, and I'm so sorry for that. I mean, it's just good to have you back, and I love the books we're talking about today. Tell us this. Is there a verse you've been thinking about these days that you can share with us?
There is a verse. It's Romans 5:9, and it basically talks about how we are saved from God's wrath through Jesus. And that may seem like, why is that your favorite verse? But I think in today's terms, a lot of us walk around and think, is God mad at me? You know, is he standing there disapproving? And so whenever those thoughts pop into my mind lately, I just say Romans 5:9, like, I am in God's grace because of Jesus, and that means that I can have a loving relationship with him right now, today, as I am, even as imperfect as I may be. And so that's just been really reassuring to me lately.
Isn't that good news? I often say on the show, Holly, that we get to be a work in progress without the condemnation. And I think if we don't know that, we try to stuff things in and we hide things and we try to put on a good front. But every time we do that, we're actually kind of making silos out of ourselves, aren't we? I mean, we're not connecting if we're not willing to be the fullness of who we are.
Yes, and then we all end up thinking, I'm the only one who struggles. I'm the only one who's broken. I'm the only one who's afraid. So I think that knowing we are safe in God's love lets us raise our hand and say, you know what? I don't have it all together, and that means you don't need to either, because God loves us anyway, and this is why he sent Jesus. He knew we needed a Savior.
So what's the fruit of that for you, Holly, when you get into a place, which we all do, where you kind of bump up against yourself or the enemy's right there just to taunt and to kind of harass, when you remind your own soul, you know, Jesus took the wrath that I deserved, so I get the grace that I don't deserve. What's the fruit of that for you in your life?
I think that, first of all, it frees me from shame and guilt. Those are two emotions that I can tend to wrestle with a lot. I'm a bit of a perfectionist, and so even if I'm only falling short of laws of my own making, I can sort of carry around the shame and guilt. And so when I know the truth of God's grace, it lets me set those expectations down and let go of that shame and guilt and instead say, you know what? I'm loved, I'm free, and out of that, that makes me want to go out and serve, not from a place of I have to prove my worth, but out of gratefulness, and it gives me more confidence knowing even if I mess up, even if I fail, what matters most isn't going to change. I'm still going to be loved.
And that's just the best news. Well, we're talking about two books today, one that you're re-releasing, I think, with a study and DVD guide, You're Already Amazing, and You're Loved No Matter What. Talk about this one, You're Loved No Matter What, freeing your heart from the need to be perfect, just the inspiration behind that book and what your intended takeaway is for your reader.
With a little bit of what I just mentioned, that I've always been someone who is very hard on herself. Mm-hmm. And as I've worked with other women as a counselor or life coach or writing on my blog, I found that there are a lot of us out there like that who just say, you know what, unless I'm perfect, I can't be loved. And we all know deep down inside that that is a recipe for going flat out crazy. So I wanted Jesus to show me the real truth, and that is that we are scandalously loved in spite of ourselves. And so the book really just unpacks that message of how do we end up dealing with those lies, and then what's the truth that replaces those lies so that we can live in new freedom.
Was it a healing process, Holly, to write that book?
It really was. I like to say more so than even being a writer, I feel like a listener. So when I sit down in that space, in those pages, I really want to hear from God's heart. And I'm the first one who gets to be healed. And then I have the privilege of being able to share that with other women. But I do always feel like God does a lot for my own heart in the writing process.
I would echo that as well. Such a good way to put it. Well, you say the desire to really know who we are has actually been placed in our hearts by heaven itself. Love that. Say more.
Well, I do. I think we can get a little scared. Like, I'm not even supposed to think about who I am. That's selfish or that's prideful. And yet, I think God puts that longing in us to know who we're created to be and what we're called to do, because otherwise we end up just following other people's agenda for us or this world's agenda for us. And when we really know who we are, we can say, you know what, there are things I'm on earth to do that only I can. So it's okay to say no to other things. It's okay to cut back so that I can really focus on why I'm here and the people God's called me to love and what he wants me to be doing today.
You know, we're blessed to be a blessing, and I really love writing, too, about the internal process of untangling the knots of our fears and insecurities, because the more we grasp his love, you know, for us, can people grasp his love through us? And yet, sometimes you hear the sin police or the Pharisees jumping on people who write things about our own internal process as if it's always got to be about others. But I don't really think it can realistically be sincerely about others until we can't impart what you don't possess. And so part of the process is to pause and say, who am I? And what am I believing that's a lie? And I want you to tackle that, Holly, because when I kind of wince when I see those kind of harsh judgments, it's always got to be about others. Well, no, it's about us too. It's about others, but we're part of others. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely. And I think it's like the example we've probably heard before of being on the airplane where you put your own little air mask on first, because otherwise you're not going to be able to help that person next to you. And I've been that woman, and I've seen lots of women and men who are going through life just exhausted because they're just saying yes to everything and everyone out of a sense of believing that's what God wants them to do. And it leads to burnout, it leads to depression, it leads to anxiety, it sidelines a lot of really well-intentioned people because we haven't stopped to do that soul work. And I think sometimes we avoid it because it's scary and it's hard to say, okay, God, who am I and what are you asking me specifically to do? It's easier to go through life being reactive and just trying to please people than to say, you know what, no matter what, I'm going to do what God asked me to do. And that means knowing who he's created me to be.
You know, I love one of the many things I love about Jesus is that he came to set us free and to proclaim sight to the blind. And I imagine, Holly, as you've got people coming into your office for counseling and you see these precious, gifted people, and you hear the lies that they're believing and how that's enough, because if it feels true to them, they're going to live out of it as if it's true. And you're looking going, wow, there's so little evidence to point to that, and yet it feels true to you. I want you to just to speak to that for a moment, the power of a lie and the power of the truth to set us free.
Yes, I think all the way back to Eden, you know, the enemy snuck in and he got Eve with one little phrase, did God really say? And I don't think he's all that creative. I think he is still using that same phrase, did God really say? He just knows how to fill in the blank differently for each of us where he knows it's going to hit home. And so I think it's always important to say, this sounds like truth, but is it actually? What does God really say? Because then when that question and challenge comes to our souls, we can say, yes, God really did say I'm loved. Yes, God really did say I have a purpose. Yes, God really did say I'm enough. And that changes everything. But in order to be able to do that, we need to know that truth and have it ready.
Have it ready. Talking to Holly Girth today, the title of her new book that we are celebrating today, You're Loved No Matter What. Did you need that message today? Freeing your heart from the need to be perfect. I'm giving Holly this whole hour, so we're not taking calls, but we'll take emails. If you want to get in on the drawing, we've got 4 copies of Holly's new book. Here's the drill. You know it. If you listen often enough, email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put your loved in the subject line, and when I see that, I'll feel so good. I'll get like a warm fuzzy because you're telling me I'm loved. But then you give me that mailing address, your name will go in a drawing. 4 of you will win a copy of Holly's book. When we come back, we're going to talk about how we tangibly grasp God's love. If it doesn't feel true, if you didn't have it modeled to you, or maybe you've messed up enough that you can't get there from here, well, guess what? He came from there to you. How do you walk that out and believe it till it feels true? We'll talk about that with Holly Girth when we return. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to best-selling author Holly Girth, celebrating 2 of her books today. Her brand new book, You're Loved No Matter What, Freeing Your Heart from the Need to Be Perfect, and You're Already Amazing. And she'll talk about that in a little bit because she's re-releasing that with a DVD and study guide. We are not taking calls. I want to give Holly as much time as possible. So here's what we're going to do. You're going to email me. Are you ready? Well, I'm kind of bossing you around, but are you ready? You're going to email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put your loved in the subject line. Give me your mailing address. Your name will go in a drawing. 4 of you will get a copy of this great book. So let's talk about this, Holly, about the person who says, you know, I've been a Christian a long time. I get what you're saying in my head. I absolutely cannot grasp it in my heart for whatever reason, maybe because of where they've been, what they've done, or what's been done to them. What advice would you have for just first steps that they can walk in the reality of God's love?
Yeah, well, first I want to raise that my hand and say, I am that person.
Yeah.
You know, even after writing this and living it and sharing it, there are still days that I wake up and the love of God feels like it's on the other side of the ocean. And I think we need to acknowledge that that is normal, that we are human beings with moods and trials and bodies, and some days we are just not going to feel it and let go of that expectation. So I think letting ourselves off the hook and knowing if we feel that way, it's okay and God understands. And then finding someone in our life who can tell us the truth on the days when we can't feel it. I have a friend that I will text and just say, I cannot remember what's true today. Will you remind me all over again? And I think that's why we need the body of Christ, because sometimes we need other people to be the hands and feet and heart of Jesus to us. And that's how we feel it. It's through the tangible love of other people in our lives.
I love, too, how you said it's really okay if we don't feel it some days, because we may use our emotions as an indicator of some kind of truth, but they don't always tell us the truth. So to say, you know, I don't feel it, you know, just as like we have cloud cover in the sky, I don't see the sun, but doesn't mean it's gone away. Good reminder. Well, let's talk, if we can, about some of the lies we believe that you identify in the book. And I know, again, that this book is addressed to women, but guys, I know this applies to you, too. So lie number one, and we've touched on it, but I have to be perfect. Talk about that lie.
Yes, I think we believe that I need to be perfect for God to approve of me. And there's a verse in Hebrews that I love that really releases us from this, because it says, He has made perfect forever those who are being made holy.
Love that.
He's made perfect forever those who are being made holy. And when I first read that, I thought, my Bible has a typo.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just said that I've been made perfect. But that is the reality of the cross, that Christ's perfection has been given to us. So positionally, we are already perfect in God's eyes. And then for the rest of our lives, out of love, we are in the process of becoming who we already are. But we don't have to be perfect. In fact, we can't be. If we could be, we wouldn't need Jesus. And so I think the answer to that lie is to say, I'm never going to be perfect on my own, but thank God that I have a Savior who has made me perfect in the way I need to be right with God.
So good. And you make this distinction in your book between perfectionism and growth. And I got to read this. It's so good. Perfectionism is all or nothing. Growth, well, it's little by little. Perfectionism is all about the goal. Growth is more about the journey. Perfectionism is all about outward appearances. Growth is all about what happens on the inside. Perfectionism is all about what we do. Growth is about who we're becoming. I mean, I read these, and I read perfectionism, and my gut ties in a knot, and the growth, I just exhale. I just love that. Little by little, all about the journey, what happens on the inside, and about who we're becoming. Okay, so the second lie is, I need to be more like her, or I need to be more like him. Say more.
Yes, I think we can all tend to compare ourselves to others, especially in our social media world. Mm. One click on Facebook and there's like 100 people that I think, they are doing so much better than I am. Why can't I be like her, or why can't I be like him? And so I think just acknowledging that God has a unique purpose for our lives. If there's only one of something in the whole wide world, you can't be compared, because there's nothing else like it. And so that's how it is with us. God doesn't compare us to each other, and he has given us the righteousness of Christ. And so that means God is not comparing us, and if he's not, we don't have to either. And I think the enemy wants us to compare, because it's a really easy way to get sidetracked and to end up living a second-rate version of someone else's life, instead of just saying, I'm the only one who can do what God has put me on earth to do. And I'm not going to do it perfectly, but I'm going to do it faithfully.
Amen.
And that's what matters.
Amen. We could frame that. That was fantastic. Okay, so we've talked about the lie that I have to be perfect, or I need to be more like her. Here's another one. I don't have anything to offer.
Yeah, we can think, well, even if I don't have to be like someone else, I don't really have anything to give. I don't have anything worthwhile. I'm just going to kind of hide myself away and my gifts away. And what God says is, I have placed things within you that only you can give the world. And if you don't offer them, we just all miss out. And so acknowledging that we do have something to share, and not waiting, again, it keeps going back to that perfect, but not waiting until it's perfect, because it's never going to be. It's going to be messy, and it's going to be a little chaotic, and we're going to look back years from now and say, I could have done that a little better. And that's okay. It's just about offering what we have to give, and then knowing that our God of the loaves and the fishes is able to multiply what we place into his hands and to make it what it needs to be to accomplish his purposes.
Mm-hmm. So good. Here's another lie. Being confident will make me prideful or selfish.
Yes, I wrestled with this one for years, and I finally thought, I'm going to look at what humility actually means in Scripture. So I looked up the verse, and in Greek, it's a combination of two different words, and it basically means to bow your heart to God,
wow.
to submit to Him. And so I thought, then that means agreeing with what He says, including what He says about us. And so when we say, God, I agree with you that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I agree with you that you have put gifts within me. I agree with you that I am loved. That is not prideful. That is faith. And so it's okay to acknowledge the truth about who we are. And I think the enemy wants to scare us away from that and say, oh, no, you can't believe anything good about yourself, or you'll be prideful. But God is saying, I'm just asking you to agree with what I've already said is true about you, because that is identity will become the foundation for you to go out there and serve based on that reality.
Remember, Holly, when I was in just young mom and just dealing with just the thick of insecurity and fear and all kinds of things. And I remember one day just the Lord whispered to my heart. He said, do you understand that insecurity is just another form of selfishness? And it hit me so hard because, you know, people complimenting me saying, you're sweet or you're kind. That didn't help me because I just knew, you know, who I was. And there was just that little whisper, as bad as you think you are, well, you're actually worse than that. But I died and I saved you and now you're redeemed. And when I understood that insecurity was a form of selfishness, instead of trying to think positive about myself, I actually repented of my unbelief. Peace came. I mean, I was amazed at that. And there are times when we can coddle our insecurity and our fears to a point where we are moving ourselves into unbelief, don't you think?
I do, yeah. And we are all paradoxes of we're already amazing, and yet we're total sinners in need of absolute grace, you know? And that is what we live with, that both are true at the same time, and that every part of who we are is only because of Jesus.
Well, we've got about a minute and 20 seconds before our bottom of the hour break. Let's address this one line. If you need to pick it up on the other side, go ahead. I am who others say I am.
Yeah, I think there are so many voices that speak into our lives, and we can adopt those and say, I have been defined. But God says, I am the only one who ultimately gets to tell you who you are. And so we need to just go back to Him again and again and say, tell me one more time. Tell me one more time. And have those people in our lives, too, who will do the same when we don't feel like we can do it for ourselves.
Well, we're going to pause here. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the five things that you say that God has that we actually desire for ourselves. I want to read these for you as we get ready to go out to our break. Five things that God has that we desire for ourselves: complete control, absolute knowledge, rightful glory, self-sustaining love, secure identity. Can you see how striving for complete control, or thinking for a moment you have absolute knowledge, or going for glory, or self-sustaining love, or secure identity outside of Christ would leave you dumbfounded and insecure and confused? But when we understand that God possesses these things and we draw our life from Him, well, then we're secure because God is in control. He knows. All glory goes to Him. We'll talk with Holly about that when we return. As I said, we've got four copies of her book, You're Already Loved. You're Loved No Matter What, actually, is the title. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put You're Loved in the subject line. Give me your mailing address. Four of you get a copy of this great book. Don't go away. More with Holly Girth when we return. Tuning in today, I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Holly Girth today, best-selling author, counselor, life coach, blogger, celebrating the release of her new book, You're Loved No Matter What, Freeing Your Heart from the Need to Be Perfect. Do you need that reminder today? Man, I'd love to get a copy of this book in your hands. We've got four of them. This is how we're doing it. I want to give Holly as much time as possible. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put You're Loved in the subject line, and then give me your mailing address. Your name will go in a drawing. Because of the volume of emails we receive, we're not able to respond to everybody, whether you win or not, but you just might have a surprise in your mailbox in the next several days or week. I got to read this. It's so precious. From Holly's book, You're Loved No Matter What. We are not duplicates. We are one of a kind. We don't operate on flawless systems. We grow in ways that are messy and require risks and mistakes. We can't stay static. Instead, we continue to change until the day we die. If God wanted a world filled with people who all looked the way, like they came from the same factory, he would have made it that way. He could have programmed us like computers. He could have chosen for us to look identical to each other. He could have had us hatch from eggs as instant grown-ups and skip the whole messy process of birth through maturity. But he didn't. That's from You're Loved No Matter What. And in that book, Holly, you talk about these five ways that we desire for ourselves, but that are God's himself. The first one is complete control. That belongs to God. And talk about what happens when we try to get that for ourselves.
Well, I think it comes from fear, right? We go through this life afraid of a lot of different things, and we think, if I could just have complete control, then I would be safe. And we may not even articulate that to ourselves, but that's what we really want, is to be safe. And so when we want control, suddenly we're responsible for everything and everyone. And that is a very stressful way to live. We end up anxious and exhausted. And it's all an illusion anyway, because we don't have control. And so if we can say, you know what, I'm going to let God have control, and I'm going to trust that he's going to take care of me. And even if life doesn't turn out the way I want it to or I hoped for, I'm going to believe that he is for me and that I am ultimately secure in him.
I want you to just, you, not you, I'm talking to you listening today, imagine how different your day might be if you slipped out of your bed in the morning, opened your hands, and especially in the areas that you're afraid of. That's such a good connection, Holly, between control and fear. Maybe it's your finances or your wayward children, but you released your hands, you just released your care to God and said, you're ultimately in control. I'm going to trust you. What would happen in your heart and how you'd show up for your day? Okay, this next one, Holly, absolute knowledge. Speak about that one.
Yes, we want to know everything, right?
Yeah.
I would like to know everything. Like, God, can you just send me an email every morning and give me a bullet point list of how my day's going to go and all the answers I'm seeking? And so we want to know everything, but as humans, that's just never going to happen. And if we try to do that, we can end up just stuck in this mode of always searching for answers, which can lead us away from trust. And so I think just surrendering to say, you know what, God, I don't know everything. You're the only one who does. But I'm going to believe that today you're going to let me know what I need to. And those are the things that aren't going to change. What I really need to know is not what's going to happen with my job or what's going to happen with this child of mine or what's going to happen with any other circumstance in my life. What I need to know is that I'm going to be okay no matter what happens and that I'm still going to be loved no matter what happens. And that you're going to work things together for good, even when they're hard. And so just saying to God, tell me what I really need to know, and then help me trust you with the rest. And is that an easy process? No. There's probably going to be some tear and sweat and maybe a little anger words along the way. But I think our hearts can go to a deeper place of peace when we can say, I don't have to know it all. I just need to know that God is the ultimate truth in my life.
I'm wondering if we have to get to crisis to wrestle with these things, Holly, because I'm looking at this list. We've got three more to go. But how amazing it would be if we did this proactively, if we, you know, got in the habit of surrendering control, of saying, and you know everything, so I only see in part, but that's how you've made it that way, and it's going to be enough for me. If we could reset our course on somewhat of a regular basis, I think we would avoid a lot of crisis, don't you think? Because so much of our efforts and even a misuse of our time, treasure, and talents goes to trying to control or to know what we shouldn't know.
Yeah, and at least for me, in crisis, I tend to think, okay, I need to go to God for this. It's the day-to-day, you know?
Yeah.
I realize I can't control that huge thing, but I sure want to control the traffic, you know? Or I want to control some other smaller part of my life. So for me, that's what I have to go back to all the time, is in the little things, in the ordinary life, in the small and unseen, in the downright boring moments, am I still able to say, okay, God, you're in control. You are the one who knows what needs to happen. I'm going to keep giving myself to you over and over again.
So good. Okay. This third aspect or desire that we have for ourselves that belongs to God alone is rightful glory. Unpack that one.
Yes, we are glory hogs, right? Even those of us who would like to think we're humble or hope that we are and pray that we are. I mean, there's still just this deep sense inside of us, and I think it comes, again, from fear that we want approval. We want to know that we are doing well. And there is a place for that, that God has given us some of those desires, but we can all distort that and say, I'm going to make life about me. I'm going to try to get the spotlight to shine my way. And really, we, our souls cannot handle glory. I think we see that all the time with celebrities who falter and fall, and in the lives of people who are just kind of overcome by the very thing that they so wanted. And so just saying, you know what, God, you are the only one who deserves all the glory, actually sets us free, because then we can rest in knowing that we don't have to try so hard, that we don't have to have everyone approve of us, that we don't have to have the most Facebook likes or whatever it is that we think will determine our worth. We can rest in knowing that glory is for God alone.
Hmm. Thinking as you're talking that passage, it says no flesh shall glory in his presence. And the way that you said that, our souls weren't made for that kind of glory. I mean, only for God alone. We can't handle it. It's like somebody winning a lottery who doesn't know how to manage their money. It crushes them. And there are stats of lottery winners, that the percentage of lottery winners being suicidal, depressed, losing their relationships, and going bankrupt within a few years. It's like they're not conditioned to carry the weight of that any more than we're conditioned to carry the weight of God's glory. You know, what a picture. Wow. Okay, self-sustaining love. This is something that we desire for ourselves, but is found in God alone.
Yeah, we would love probably to be little islands in some ways, to say, you know what, I don't need anybody else. I'm good on my own. But we are not created for that. We are created to receive love from God and from other people. And we can really end up wounded if we don't acknowledge that. If we say, you know what, even saying, all I need is Jesus. Well, in the garden before the fall, before sin was even in the picture, God said, it's not good for man to be alone. It's not good for our hearts to go through life on their own. And that is not a sign of spiritual weakness. That's a sign of God's design for us. And so just saying, you know what, I need to love and be loved. That's part of who God made me as a human. And I can't fill myself up on my own. I need him, and I need other people to walk through life with me.
And isn't it true that, I mean, this is the community even that you formed online, but we are sharpened and we're shaped in community. I mean, the hard parts about community are sometimes the parts that make us most like Christ, wouldn't you say?
Yes, I like to say iron sharpens iron. That means sometimes sparks fly.
True that.
You know, we say that proverb like it's all noble and it's going to be easy, but iron sharpening iron, that is some kind of messy process.
And sometimes it lets out this high-pitched scream, and that's not pretty either. Okay. All right, so this fifth one, that this is something that we desire for ourselves but belongs to God alone, and that's, or in God alone, really, is secure identity. Say more.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we want to say, I determine who I am, and I'm the boss of me, and God has not created us to live that way. He has formed us with an identity, and so it's up to us to look to him and say, tell me who I am, be that mirror to my own heart, and show me the reality of who I'm put on this earth to be and what I'm called to do. And we don't get to define that for ourselves, and when we try to, that's when we can do a whole lot of wandering. So I think that just means going back and say, God, tell me who I am and help me to stay in the center of that.
Mm. And this is a question that I don't at all mean to put you on the spot, so forgive me if it does, but the title, You're Already Amazing, Embracing Who You Are, Becoming All God Created You to Be, love it. And I just feel like the title has got to be healing balm for so many souls. I think this is probably one of your best-selling books. But there are always those, the nitpickers. Is there anybody that, you know, gave you a negative critique going, no, we're fallen creatures, you can't say that? I mean, did you receive any of that? Did you? I could see it coming. I don't know why. But how did that land on you when you, I mean, you, if all they have to do is open the book and you're establishing our identity in Christ, but how did you navigate that?
Yeah, I really wrestled with it. Even when we're titling the book, I just felt like, is this okay to say? You know, like, am I being scandalous and naughty? And I can't name my book this, but that was the phrase that God kept bringing to my heart. And I did have some critics about it, but I just kept going back. And even one translation of Psalm 139:14, it says, I praise you because you made me in an amazing and wonderful way. Mm-hmm. It actually uses the word amazing. And I looked at that and I realized when we say God has made us amazing, it leads to praise. That verse starts with, I praise you because it doesn't lead to pride. It leads to praise. And so I wanted to make sure that everything in the book pointed back to that, that we are not saying we're amazing because we're human, which is kind of what our world says. We are amazing because we are the handiwork of a God who is even more amazing than we can possibly fathom. And so I did wrestle with that, and I did get some criticism, but at the end of the day, I still believe that's true, that yes, we are also sinners, but that is not the full extent of our story. The reality is we are also God's amazing creation, and we are his beloved children. So I really wanted to tell a part of our story that I feel like can sometimes be missing in what's shared in Christian circles today.
You know, I had a similar thing with Your Beautiful Purpose, where a couple of critics were saying that I was proposing the prosperity theology, which I'm like, did you even read the book? But it's way, way more about sorting through the fears in your soul so that you could go on and be and do the things God intended. Because so often women hide in our busyness and our fear. We don't dare to step out. And it was for that girl, you know. But I guess we have to be brave even in our call, in spite of the critics. Everybody does. Everybody's going to have someone, the naysayers. What advice maybe do you have for that person listening who has a dream, but they're hearing these conversations going, well, that's the very thing I want to avoid.
Right. I would say it's unavoidable.
Yeah. Thanks for that.
So,
no.
Yes, that's so encouraging, right?
Yeah.
But yes, you know, and Jesus even talked about that, like, watch out if everyone speaks well of you, and just knowing that anything worth doing is going to have some opposition. And a lot of times that can be more confirmation that you're bringing up things that need to be talked about, or you're challenging existing ideas, or, you know, it can be more confirmation than actually something to say, okay, I need to stop because someone disagrees with me. And I think having a circle of people around you that you can take criticism to and say, is there any truth in this? And know that they will speak in love what you need to hear can help you feel better about that. I do that. I was really criticized last year, and it was extremely painful. And I took those words to my inner circle of people, and I just said, sort through this with me. Like, if there's something I need to hear or know out of this, then I want to be able to receive it. But I want to be able to receive it from you because I know it's from a place of love, and this other person is not speaking from love. And so I need someone to help me filter through this. And it was painful, and it took me some time. I was really scared for a while to write after that. But I remember just praying, like, what if I get hurt again? What if this happens all over? I'm, you know, so afraid. And it felt like at some point God said, what, you mean you might get crucified? And I realized as believers, that's how we're called to live, with our arms spread wide open and our hearts exposed. And that means sometimes somebody's going to get to us. And that is part of what it means to live and to love like Jesus.
Wow, what a good word, Holly, and I so appreciate you sharing that story. Okay, when we come back, we're going to talk about how Holly unpacked that passage, to whom much is given, much is required. So often it gets interpreted that you need to just run yourself into the ground, like, I've been blessed with so much, I got to keep going, going, going. But this is not an ought to or a should do. This really is an invitation to. It's a get to. We're going to talk about Holly's thoughts on that passage when we return. Remember, you've got 4 copies of Your Loved No Matter What. Hasn't this conversation just been a healing balm to your soul? If so, email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put Your Loved in the subject line. Give me your mailing address. Your name will go in a drawing. 4 of you get a copy of Holly's great book. More with Holly Girth when we return. Hope you thought about this today. Have you thought about the Father's love for you? Have you thought that he just is fond of you? He loves how he made you. He loves that he made you an introvert or an extrovert. He loves that you're snarky or that you're calm and sweet. He loves how he made you. He knows your name, and he's got a plan for you. I'm talking to Holly Girth today. We're celebrating two books, her brand new one, You're Loved No Matter What, and her re-release, You're Already Amazing, which is coming with a DVD companion. Here's an excerpt, and I don't actually remember which book this is from, but they're both good. Listen to this. Here's the good news. God has a journey for your life. It looks different than anyone else's. The road he's carved out for you is yours alone. It's always the road less traveled because you're the only one who's ever going to walk on it. Oh, sure, he'll give you wonderful traveling companions to go with you, but don't let that fool you. That doesn't mean their paths are the same as yours, just that they parallel for a time. Loved how you talked about this, to whom much is given, much is required. And your answer to that passage was another passage, Micah 6:8. What does the Lord require? To love, to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with thy God. Talk about maybe how some have interpreted to whom much is given verse, and just your take on it, if you would.
Yes, I had always read that verse, to whom much is given, much is required, to mean, wow, there are a lot of expectations on my life as someone who considers herself blessed. And I think all of us in North America, you know, in many ways could put ourselves in that category, that we have so much, and many of us look at different aspects of our lives and say, wow, you know, much must be required of me because of all I have. And that ended up feeling like a whole lot of pressure. And when I looked back at that passage, I realized much required only related to the master. God wasn't saying, you need to go out and do everything everyone expects of you, which is how I interpreted it. He was saying, you only need to do what the master asks. And that verse, Micah 6:8, is his answer to that.
Yeah.
What do I require of you? To do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with me. Or when Jesus was asked, what do we need to do? He said, the work is to believe in the one that God sent. And so we tend to think much required means I have to do and work hard and try and strive. And God says it's to believe and to trust and to love. And so that really changed everything for me.
Wow, so, so good. Here's another interesting point you made about guilt, and I want you to unpack this if you would. You say guilt is not an emotional state, but a legal one. Powerful. Say more.
Yes, I had always thought, well, guilt is something I feel, and it is an emotion. But in scriptural terms, if you literally look up the word guilt, it is only used in a legal context. In other words, like in a court of law, someone would be guilty or not guilty. And when we receive what Christ did for us on the cross and through his resurrection, God bangs that gavel and he says, not guilty. That is why Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. Once and for all, we have been declared not guilty in God's sight. And so while we may wrestle with feelings of guilt because we're human, we can trust that even in those times, we are still declared not guilty in God's sight because of the blood of Jesus. So we can stand securely in grace. We can know we're still loved. We can work through those messy struggles we all have as humans, knowing that ultimately we're going to be okay and that we are still loved in God's sight.
Well, we're celebrating the re-release of You're Already Amazing, Embracing Who You Are, Becoming All God Created You to Be. Say a word about the DVD project and why the re-release, what's coming with it, what's new about it.
Yeah, so You're Already Amazing, the book, came out in 2012, and then we heard from a lot of people, we want to go deeper into this message of embracing who you are and becoming all God created you to be. And especially, we want more life coaching material, and we want to be able to do this with groups. And so what's coming out now is the You're Already Amazing Life Growth Guide and DVD that accompanies it. So it is six sessions based on You're Already Amazing, but it expands that original material and adds to it, and also makes it where it can really easily be used for groups.
How did you like the DVD shooting process? I think you've done others before, but how did it go for you?
It was actually a lot of fun. We did it in my house, and there's a small group of people there, and so it was actually a lot of fun. My editor was there, and the cameraman, and my husband, and my best friend. And so when I would leave the room to go change my outfits, because, you know, a little backstory, we did shoot them all in one day, I'd come out and they had moved like my couch in front of the front door, and like my table was in the opposite corner because we need to make all these little
different
things.
Sets.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, so it was funny just to watch the process happen right there in the middle of my living room. So
that's
it really
amazing.
Is like me saying, come over to my house and have coffee with me.
And that's how you write. Wow. Just got a couple minutes before we pray, Holly. But with the people that you encounter online in your Encourage blog and then the people you counsel and just people you meet in the ministry, do you see a common theme of struggle? Is it most often insecurity? Is it most often fear, unbelief? Is there a common denominator that you've identified?
I would say fear and insecurity just seem to be something that all of us wrestle with, and that is true no matter how long we've been on this earth, how long we've been believers, how much we've accomplished. And so I think just saying to each other, you know what, none of us have it together, but we're all better together, and God got us. We're going to be okay is really powerful.
Mm. And what are you working on next? Do you mind sharing?
I am working on a book yet to be titled, but it will release in fall of 2017.
Mm, okay, and that's as much information as we get, right?
It's still very much in progress.
I get it completely. Well, as we wrap up, wondering if you would pray for that person who so longs to lay hold of that freedom that Jesus paid such a high price for. Would you?
Yes.
Would you pray?
Absolutely. Lord, we just thank you that you are the God who makes us amazing, and everything about who we are, all that we have, all that we hope for is all because of you. So I just pray for each person listening today that they would know that they are loved as they are, that you are looking at them and saying, you, my beloved child, belong to me. And all the struggles, all the things you worry that disqualify you, all the places where you have fallen short, that does not change anything about my heart for you. I am for you, not against you. I've promised that I will carry you and that I will make sure that you get through this life and get home to me forever. So I just pray that each person listening would be confident of that they would grow in that they would share that with others, that they would be encouraged and strengthened. And I pray that together that we would be a messy and wild and beautiful army of women and men who declare simply this: Jesus is our everything, and his grace is enough. In your name we pray. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Holly, I just want to say thank you for having the courage and the bravery to lay hold of your call and to walk it out and to stand strong, because you're really building up the saints. Thank you for all that you do and for joining us today.
Thank you, Susie.
Always appreciate you. Title of her new book, You're Loved No Matter What, Freeing Your Heart from the Need to Be Perfect. I'd love to get a copy in your hands. Remember this, email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put your loved in the subject line. Don't forget your mailing address. Your name will go in a drawing. Really a wild, messy, awesome army of believers, totally in love with Jesus, totally accepting the me, the you that he's creating us to be. And we just laid hold of his promises by faith. We quit comparing, quit competing. We just engage together in the purposes of God. Wouldn't that be great? Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In a bit, you'll find a podcast of these programs up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Be a radio missionary. Share one with a friend if you think it'll encourage them. God bless you. Thanks for joining me every day, and I'll meet you back here next time.